You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
Fathers, give godly advice to your children now. Speak it to them. Share it with them. You've got the tablet of their heart, and you can just sort of write the truths of the Word of God, give it to them, and let the Word of God work in them. The advice that you have from the Scriptures, from your experience as a Spirit-filled man, share that. Share that. Pass that along.
Kids always want to share their new talents, songs, or stories with their parents. Many a parent can recall sitting at the edge of the bathtub, timing how long their kids can hold their breath underwater, or watching a talent show that their children and three neighbor kids took 10 minutes to create and 40 minutes to perform. Their excitement and exuberance are palpable. In today's message, Pastor Bo encourages you to be this kind of parent. Don't be shy about your relationship with Jesus to your children. Now, here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, A Devoted Father.
The new life in Christ, the resurrection life that he's given us as Christians, we're going to have to give an account from a stewardship standpoint of that. And so that right there wakes me up to make changes, to move things around and say, well, I'm not going to live like the rest of the world then. I see the danger there and what it does, and that's, I'm not interested in that. What idols do we have? An idol is anything, like I've said, we put it between us and God. I'm going to move on to number two. Well, actually, I want to ask all of the fathers first to take on a bit of a Joshua mentality. Those of you that have, you know your Bible, you've been in the church for a while, you're maybe familiar with this verse, but I want to share it with you guys today on this message. Joshua 24, verse 15. Just read this verse. See how it says, look at how it says it. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, like if some of you, maybe you're in here and you say, I don't know, Bo, what you're saying. Well, go ahead and make a choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. Just go ahead and choose. Now, make the choice whether you will serve the gods that your fathers served, so just the gods of the world, pagan idolatry, ultimately Satan in this world, choose who you're going to serve in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You just want to live like everybody else? Make that decision. But, you see what Joshua says right here? But, as for who? Me? So it starts where? Fathers, where does it start? That's right. It doesn't just go, me and my house. No, fathers, let's step this up. It's me first. It starts here. This has to be a conviction of mine. It has to be a conviction of yours. It has to be in your heart. It has to be in your soul. It has to burn on the inside of you. It can't be somebody, you know, oh, it's who we are. It has to start because it's who you are. Do you even have in this world this Joshua kind of kickback? This is a spirit-filled, word-driven, prior generation understanding from Moses. I mean, Joshua gets it, that if he's going to live in this pagan society and pagan culture, here's how it's going to go. As for me and for my house, we are going to serve who? The Lord. No idols in between us and him. So similar to what Jacob did, get everything between us and God out of the way. Are we on the same page there? We're on the same page there? Okay, good. All right. So let's say thanks to Jacob right there without being weird about it. Thanks, Jacob. And let's move on to second example. All right. Here's a second one. His name is Manoah. Manoah is his name. He's found in the book of Judges. He is the father of Samson. You guys remember Samson? Now, he gets a lot of airtime, right? He was huge. Big muscular guy, and when the Spirit of God came upon him as a judge, he would fight, and you guys know the story of Samson, but yet he had a big weakness as well, and it was women, specifically Delilah, but he allowed that. He was always in questionable situations all the time. He had a weakness. Before any of that happened, you have this man named Manoah, who is Samson's father. And you want to write this down. He prays for instruction in regards to his coming child. And he does it here in Judges 13, verse 8. You can turn there if you haven't already and read this verse with me. Judges chapter 13. So still in the Old Testament, just a little bit after the first five books of the Old Testament, you'll find Judges, Joshua, and then Judges. Chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Then Manoah, he prays to the Lord." Now, there's a lot of background to this, and I can't explain it all, but a pre-incarnate person, Jesus Christ, previously came to him and told him that he was going to have this son and all this. So understand that. That's in the background. So when he says this, now you'll understand that. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, please let the man of God whom you previously sent to me, let him come again to us." He's talking about him and his wife. And notice what Manoah just prays for. He says, "And teach us," I love how simple this is, "what we are to do with the child who will be born." Does that help anybody? I appreciate that. Here's this father, you know, getting direction that he's going to have this child and all this. What is this father doing? First, fathers, notice, he's praying. Just notice that. And he's not just praying, "Oh God, get me through another day with my kids. You know, or oh, my wife driving me nuts." That's not what he's praying. He's praying as a godly father. You're getting a picture here of a devoted godly father, of a principal. He's praying in advance. He's praying for the necessary wisdom and instruction in order to be able to understand this child that's coming, to be able to raise this child, understanding that children are different. And so he's seeking direction on, okay, this child, when this child comes into our lives, I'm going to need the Lord's insight, wisdom. So just picture the value, if you would, of a father praying to Jesus Christ to come and to teach him and his wife what they are to do with the child who will be born. Can you picture that? I think that's great. That's a great picture. The value of a father praying for Jesus Christ to come and to teach me and my wife what we are to do with this child that will be born to us. So fathers and mothers need the Lord's wisdom. We need the Lord's grace to raise our children. Isn't that true? Absolutely. We're not all knowing. Fathers, we know a lot, but we don't know it all, right? Right? We're not all knowing. So prayer for you is your greatest resource, and your Bible and the Spirit and your spouse. If you don't have a spouse, that's okay. That doesn't mean you have any less resources as a Christian on planet Earth. You have all of God's resources, all of God's power available to you, all of God's wisdom available to you for life. Here you see something. First off, he is praying, realizing there's limits to his knowledge. But God is all-knowing. And so a devoted father needs the Lord's guidance, needs the Lord's direction on knowing what to do with the children that God has given them. Sometimes when I'm praying for our children, I'm thinking about each one of them. Now, I have six of them, so that's a few minutes, all right? But I'm working through them, and I'm thinking of each of them by name, and I'm just asking the Lord, and I'm waiting for the Spirit's insight on the uniqueness of each child. Because it's not a blanket approach to all of them. And so I don't get it right all the time, by any means. And then I'll come to Sherilyn and just say something like, "You know, I was thinking and praying about Mackenzie, and the Lord, I feel like the Lord is just showing me this about her." I can't tell you how many times I'll share a thought like that with her, and she'll already be thinking the exact same thing. Now, she's a mother, so she's got insight into our kids that I got to get before the throne, you know, to get. I don't know how to say that, but I got to slow down, and I'll come to her like I got this big aha moment, and she's like, "Yeah, I already knew that," you know. It's not the same for all of them. And so I think this is a great principle to sort of extract out of the Word of God, that Manoah prays specifically for the Lord to teach him what he needs to know about what to do with this child. So it's very like practical, hands-on. Think about, man, I need to know what to do with this child. That's what the summer's like. You got kids. You're like, what do we do with these kids, you know, during the summertime? But the truth is, if you think about it, many of us have no idea what we are to do with our children. If you're honest, I mean, I think that's an honest thing to say. We really don't. I mean, we read the books. Some of us have great upbringing. Some of us not so much. So we're reverse parenting. Well, I didn't get this, so I'm doing it this way. You know, we got all of our things that we base our decision making on. But at the end of the day, I mean, we don't know exactly. We know what we're doing. It's like an experiment, isn't it? It's like a project. Sorry, kids. Sorry, kids. That's what our parents did to us, right? Here we are. So I think just start now by asking God. I want to give you this very practically. Start now by asking God, by praying for instruction. And I want to tell you something today, just as your pastor, for whatever it's worth, I just want you to hear this. God will give it to you. God will give it to you. He will speak to you the instruction that is needed for your child. Now, obey him. That's the faith part. That's the action. Obey him. You get that direction. There's the need for obedience. Follow through on it. He knows the specific needs for every child and for every parent. And I want to say today, he is always ready to provide that for you. That's not a hard thing to find, or he's got it ducked behind somewhere and you got to look for it. He's ready to give that. He's very generous. He's ready to pour out that. He wants to bless. He wants you to prosper. He wants to give to you and to your children. And it comes through us as the fathers. We've got to seek the Lord, though, and then bring that into the life. Here's the third one. It's David. You want to write this one down. You say, what can we learn from David? Oh, I think right here we can learn something really cool from David. David, at this point in his life with his son Solomon, who we could talk about that for a while, but let's just keep the boat moving. He gives godly advice. Everybody hear that? Did you hear what I just said? He gives godly advice. And don't be too fast in just assuming what that means. I mean, please slow down, try to get, understand. He gives not his advice or generational learning that he's had from his previous parents and grandparents, whatever. He is giving godly advice to his son, Solomon. In 1 Kings 2, you can turn there. 1 Kings 2, let's read these four verses together in 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 1, when David's time to die drew near, so he's at the end of his life, he commanded Solomon his son, saying in verse 2 of 1 Kings 2, son, my time's up. I am about to go the way of all the earth. That's a cool way of saying it's over, right? I am all done. So, Solomon, son, be strong. Watch this. Show yourself a man. What does that mean? He's giving godly advice to his son Solomon. Verse 3, keep the charge of the Lord your God. Solomon, be strong. Solomon, show yourself a man. Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways. You hear that? There's a lot there. Walk in his ways, Solomon, son, daughter. Keep his statutes. Keep his commandments, his rules, his testimonies. And he points to the Bible that he had at that time, as it is written in the law of Moses. Period? Comma? There's a comma there. So we can ask, why? Why? Solomon, son, daughter, father, dad, give the godly advice that David is giving to Solomon here so that your child might, what's that word? Prosper. So that your child might prosper concerning me, saying, if your sons, now that just doesn't mean a financial prosperity. I think that's a part of it, but it's much more comprehensive than that. If your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. There's a lot we could say if we got into the context on that and studied it, but we're going to hold short right there. And just understand that what David sought to do was to encourage his son, listen very carefully, to prepare him for the difficult tasks and the battles that Solomon was going to have in his future. David knows the key to success in life with God. And he knows it's to make sure that his heart is in harmony with God. And the way to do that is through worship and through the word of God. David knew that. And he wants his son to understand that. You will not have success, son. You will not have success, son, in any battle, in any fight, in anything that God's going to have you come, that you're going to experience in this life without being fully devoted to God. Your heart needs to belong to him more than anyone and anything else. That's what he's saying. That's what he's passing along to his son. David admonishes his son to obey the word of God so that he could have a successful kingship. He knew that the whole future of the nation depended on whether or not his son would love his Bible, whether or not his son would love the word of God enough to then obey it. Fathers, this is our greatest legacy, is to, first of all, we're not perfect, all of us dads, right? Come on, we're humble guys, we acknowledge that. We're not perfect, but we must be pursuing godliness. We must be in love with Christ, in love with his word, in love with our spouse if we have one, so that the model is set, the example is set for the child to see dad saw that as a priority. And then he, when he gets to the end, he takes the time to say it to me. There's a lot in that. He's admonishing his son for his future. In contrast to this, would you take a moment in your mind and just sort of imagine being a father who never gave any godly advice to a child. A lot of us have experienced that. Most of us probably have, in a way. If we talked after church today, we all went out to lunch and talked this through, there'd be a lot of that real life stuff on this. Or imagine a father who had written it down in a journal, all this good, godly advice that he hoped one day maybe they'd get it. But he wrote it all down in a journal all throughout his life, and his son or daughter read the journal after they were gone. Does it carry the same, the same substance, the same weightiness? It doesn't. Fathers, give godly advice to your children now. Speak it to them. Share it with them. You've got the tablet of their heart, and you can just sort of write the truths of the Word of God, give it to them, and let the Word of God work in them. The advice that you have from the Scriptures, from your experience as a Spirit-filled man, share that. Share that. Pass that along. A godly father has history with God. You've been walking with the Lord for a while, you have that, you have history. And a godly father has seen the faithfulness and the fruitfulness of God's word in his own life. So a godly father loves his child, cares for his child, wants your son, your daughters, to learn from what you have learned, both the positive and the negative. Would you agree with that? It's both. You're wanting to cast that full picture. There is a path, I think, that a godly father has learned to walk. I think that a godly father is going to want his child to reap the benefits of walking the same path. I don't want us to miss that as a church. I think a godly father over time realizes I am on a path here, and it's different than the rest of the world. And when it comes to my children and my family, I would want them to be on that same path. Here is Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, I think puts words to what I'm trying to say from the Scriptures. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. No, so we're not hanging out with the wicked. We're not hanging out with those who are rebellious against God, nor sits in the seat of those who speak against God, who are antagonistic against God, scoffers. They scoff at God. No, 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 no. But my delight as a godly father in this life is to delight in the law of God, the law of the Lord, the scriptures, the word of God. And in his law, he meditates day and night. It's that right there that I think a godly father is trying to pass along. It's giving godly advice to our children. Devoted fathers do that. They give godly advice to their children. They'll give the child the opportunity then to do what? I think when you give the godly advice to our children, it gives them the chance to then exercise their own faith. Did you guys hear that? When we pass that along to our children, it's doing something. It's doing a lot, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a list here. I think that's one of them. It's giving the child the chance to start exercising their own faith. Whoa, dad said that? Whoa, dad's coming at me with that? That's interesting. That's a nugget. Never heard that before. What am I supposed to do with that? Yeah, exactly. Just keep coming with those questions, because that's developing something in you that needs to grow. It's your faith. It's your faith, your own faith. The giving of the advice creates, I think, the expectation within the child that they may need this information one day. You know what I'm saying? You ever have somebody who you trust, who has access to your life, sort of a right to speak into your life, if they put their hand on your chest and go, "Now let me tell you something." Do you listen right there? I do, right? If there's people in my life that are close and they're in that place and they do something like that, I go, right? I don't want to miss that. I want to hear what that is. So, because one day they're not going to be there. See, what that does for the child, it wakes them up to the future. When we give godly advice, and don't withhold that, I want to encourage you to share godly advice, because it's waking the child up to the fact that there is a future. Father is passing along things to me because he sees a future, and I wasn't really thinking about that. A lot of times, younger generation, they're not thinking of it like that, but the father is, and so they're passing it along, so it's waking them up to that reality that one day they're going to be in the future. To the idea that there will come a day when you will not be there as well. It wakes them up to that. I'm not always going to be here. So when you're sharing godly advice, it's stimulating that reality in their life that one day you're not going to be there. That's going to strengthen them. Well, then what? Well, then it helps now to develop that faith muscle in them so that they're spiritually strong when you and I are gone. I think that's really important. And we take the time just to glance at the scriptures about a few key guys and learn from them. All right, being a devoted father of a devoted household implies, I think, a spiritual sensitivity on the father's part. And I want to ask all of our fathers if you have that, just a spiritual sensitivity to Jesus Christ. Do you make room, even in your own life and then in your home, for the lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you make room for him? By first, how would you do that? First, you would receive him into your own life. Make him the Lord of your own life. That's how it would start. And then you would lead the rest of your family into that same saving knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. So I just want you to take a moment and picture these examples in your life. Commanding your household to put away idols. That's that cleansing and that consecration. Praying for specific instruction that is needed for your children. I want you to take that with you this week. Honey, we should talk to the Lord about that. Or just yourself, you need to pray if you're a single mom or dad and you've got children and you need to pray. Pray. Or pray with one of us here at church. You have a whole body here available too to join faith with and pray.
What a pleasure it has been to have you join us today for this edition of Truth That Transforms. Pastor Bo has given us some good things to think about. Pondering things of God, things of his word, things about the world around us. We know there's so much more to learn and appreciate next time, but we're trusting that what you've taken away from today's edition will have a profound impact for the day at hand. To stay connected to our ministry and what's going on, we want to extend an invitation to join us this weekend. We meet at Palm Bay Magnet High School in Melbourne, Florida. Come at 10 a.m. on Sundays, or for a youth service at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. As you scroll through various media outlets, make sure that our ministry is a part of what's feeding your soul. We're on Facebook and Instagram and would like to bring encouragement to what you're seeing and taking in. You can also go to our website to find more resources. Just go to trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. There's a tab at the top titled The Gospel. This will give you a comprehensive idea of what it means to know and be in relationship with God. If you have any other questions, you can reach us at 321-676-8992. That number again is 321-676-8992. We'd love to speak with you about any of these things. That's all for today's edition. But we look forward to you joining us again as Pastor Bo teaches. This has been Truth That Transforms.
God would lead us to that blessed promised land, but He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. By and by, temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares. Hearts are made to bleed for a thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by.